This week's episode of An Extra Glance is sponsored by the Lexham Theater Company's production of Our Rotten Town, June 8th and 9th at the Landmark Center in downtown St. Paul, and June 10th as part of the Steppin' Out with Lexham celebration. Hi, my name is Ed Burke, and welcome to An Extra Glance, the podcast in which I look at lesser-known aspects of stories from the news and from history, this week taking a look at the history of the mistreatment of politicians. This week, while giving the commencement address at the Coast Guard Academy, President Trump asserted that no other politician in history has been as poorly treated as he has. People immediately began coming up with counterexamples, and even if we assume that he was only talking about politicians in the United States, there were many. Perhaps most obvious were the four presidents who'd been assassinated, as well as several more who survived assassination attempts. Would-be assassins have fired shots at least five presidents, as well as at FDR while he was president-elect. Though in fairness, Clinton's would-be assassin only thought that he was firing at Clinton, but the president wasn't actually there. Ronald Reagan was struck by a bullet, and police officer Leslie Coffelt was killed during the Truman assassination attempt. George W. Bush survived an attack by hand grenade while in the country of Georgia. His attacker had pulled the pin on the hand grenade, but had wrapped the grenade so tightly in a handkerchief that the detonator malfunctioned. Wikipedia lists a total of 55 U.S. politicians who have been assassinated, though it's not clear that all were the result of their status as politicians. Nevertheless, it's hard to accept that having your campaign investigated for ties to Russia is a worse fate than that suffered by the mayor and city councilors of Kirkwood, Missouri, killed in 2008 by a man upset about fines for code violations, or that of Ed King, mayor of Mount Pleasant, Iowa, killed in 1986 by a man upset over a dispute related to a clogged sewer line. But murder is a blunt form of maltreatment. There are plenty of politicians who've experienced other indignities. The one I've chosen to explore today suffered one of the more extreme non-murderous assaults in U.S. political history. Charles Sumner was a rare breed in the mid-19th century. A Massachusetts lawyer, in 1848 he helped form the Free Soil Party, which opposed the expansion of slavery into new U.S. territories. But unlike other anti-slavery activists, Sumner actually supported full equality between blacks and whites. In 1849, he and co-counsel Robert Morris took on the case of 5-year-old Sarah Roberts, a black student forced by the city of Boston to attend the all-black Abiel Smith School, possibly the first court case arguing against segregated schools. Unfortunately, the state Supreme Court held that segregation was permitted by the U.S. Constitution. In 1850, the Free Soilers nominated Sumner for the open Senate seat recently vacated by Daniel Webster. Sumner initially refused the nomination, but then Congress passed the Fugitive Slave Act, which required that all escaped slaves be returned to their masters, and this incensed him so much that Sumner agreed to run. He joined the Senate in 1851, where he was a vocal and not particularly diplomatic opponent of slavery. In 1854, Congress passed the Kansas-Nebraska Act, which allowed the two future states to determine for themselves whether to allow slavery. In response, Sumner helped found the Republican Party with other anti-slavery activists. In 1856, as debate raged over the future of slavery in Kansas, Sumner took to the Senate floor to deliver an anti-slavery tirade, The Crime Against Kansas. In this speech, he denounced various pro-slave senators, including Stephen Butler of South Carolina, whom Sumner said had chosen a mistress, the harlot of slavery. 2 days later, Butler's cousin, Congressman Preston Brooks, walked onto the Senate floor and severely beat Sumner with a cane. Brooks became something of a hero in the South, but in the North, the beating galvanized support for Sumner, who had perhaps previously been seen as a bit extreme. Sumner spent 3.5 years in recovery before returning to the Senate. Undeterred by the attack, he relaunched his career with an address titled The Barbarism of Slavery. When the Civil War broke out, Sumner was a strong proponent of using the war to eliminate slavery. After the war, Sumner had no interest in making nice with the former rebels. A leader of the congressional faction known as the Radical Republicans, he argued vigorously for blacks to receive full civil rights. In 1870, he introduced legislation to outlaw discrimination in schools, juries, transportation, and public accommodation. This bill, which became the Civil Rights Act of 1875, was passed a year after Sumner's death at the tail end of radical Republican ascendancy, with the educational provisions removed due to opposition which would have sunk the entire bill. However, the Supreme Court struck down the legislation in 1883 on the grounds that the Constitution did not authorize Congress to regulate these details of private enterprise. It would be 75 years before the country would begin to make progress again in advancing the cause of civil rights. Of course, while Sumner may be remembered as the victim of one of the most violent attacks on a politician in U.S. history, his true legacy lies in being one of the early champions of true equality between blacks and whites. Details of Sumner's life from the Massachusetts Historical Society, supplemented by a History Channel biography. Truman assassination attempt from TrumanLibrary.org. Clinton assassination attempt from the New York Times, April 5th, 1995. Bush assassination attempt from The Guardian, May 18th, 2005. Kirkwood attack from NBC News, February 9th, 2008. And the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, September 7th, 2008. Ed King assassination from Time Magazine, December 22nd, 1986. See you soon on An Extra Glance.